Lord, we're grateful for this morning and ask that as we continue to worship you, that you would continue to draw us to yourself. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds. And I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. In your folder is a sheet. On one side it has sermon notes that you can fill in the blank with, an ample room. If God speaks to you, to write down what it is that you feel God is speaking to you. And then on the other side is some devotional readings for you this week that follow along with our theme in this sermon series called The Time Is Now. So that video goes like this. Once upon a time, there was a man named Solomon who built a mighty temple, but before long, the people of Judah turned away from God and began to worship foreign gods and idols. One day, God allowed the Babylonians to attack Judah and destroy the whole city, including God's temple. The people of Judah remained in captivity until one day God raised up the prophet Haggai to inspire people to get back to work, saying, "The time is now." Have you ever woken up and came to a certain stage in life and you just had this real unsettling feeling? You think that by this point in time in life that you expected more. I thought by this time I reached whatever this time is, that there'd be something different or something better, and I'm kind of surprised that there isn't. It could really happen at any stage in life. It could be that you're in school, high school, college, and you thought by this time that you would know what your next step would be, that you would know what you'd want to do with your life. But you didn't have a clue. It might be that you're out of college and you got a degree and you thought, well, I've got this degree, I'm going to get this job with real benefits, and I'm going to do something with my life, and you end up with a job that is not beyond your capacity. In fact, it doesn't even challenge you. And you thought there would be something more. It might be that you just thought, I certainly would have been married by now, or you're married and you thought, this isn't all I thought marriage would be. Kids, and you're simply busy and broke, you're thinking, I thought there would be something more. And some might say, I'm going to try religion. I'm going to be more spiritual. And so we're going to do this religious thing, and then life really doesn't change, and you wake up and you think, I really thought by this point there would be something more, something better, something different. This was the mood during the time of Haggai when he wrote, the people were saying, I really thought we would be in different shape than we are now, that there would be something more. But to fully appreciate their predicament, we need a backstory, a sort of a prequel to our movie. Going back to the reign of King Solomon, he started construction on this most magnificent temple, the temple of God. This temple was more glorious than you could ever have imagined. People from all over came to this temple and they saw the magnificence of it and would worship God. But somewhere in Solomon's life, he got distracted and made shrines to other gods to please his many wives. Then people, they too got distracted and their hearts turned away from God and they started to worship idols. So God allowed a series of events to take place in order to pull the people's hearts back to himself. Look at the backstory bullet points in your sermon notes. In 587 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar and his army crushed the southern kingdom of Judah, destroying the temple. God used another nation to come in and destroy Judah and the temple. And in destroying the temple, they destroyed Judah's most sacred place, the house where God dwelt, stripping away their spiritual identity and completely devastating them. And then the next point of the backstory is the Jews were then taken into captivity for decades. Judah was in captivity for 50 years. For the northern kingdom, Israel, they had already been in captivity for 70 years, which is what God told them would happen. Imagine Canada as a major nuclear power coming to our border and saying, we're going to take you over, we're going to take you captive. They come down and they take over our government. They take the president, the cabinet, both houses and Supreme Court, and then destroy all of the buildings in Washington. They take control of the country and then relocate all of the people to Canada or other parts of the world that they already control. You're no longer even considered a citizen of the United States because there is no United States. Imagine the utter despair. When the Babylonian army captured Judah and Israel, the people were now considered Babylonians with a Jewish heritage. Then the good news for Judah occurs when the Medes and the Persians overthrow Babylon some 50 years later and they recognize the Jewish nation and allow some 50,000 Jews to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the capital of Judah. For the Jewish people, they went back and they started to rebuild their sacred structure, the temple of God. They built the foundation and they built an altar. And then this other group of people nearby called the Samaritans, who were half Jewish and half something else, came in and opposed their work. And suddenly they were like, oh no, this just got hard. This just got difficult. It must not be the right time because it's not easy for us to do this. And so they stopped rebuilding the temple of God, God's house, for 14 years. Say with me, this makes sense. This makes sense. Say with me, this makes sense. This makes sense. Well, I'm glad it makes sense to you. Good. Now let's look at Haggai. Verse 2, these people say the time is not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Read the rest of it.
These people say the time is not yet come.
It's funny how God says these people to me. He calls them my people everywhere else in the Old Testament, but now it's these people. It's like when a wife says to her husband, do you know what your kids did today? So God's like, these people are saying the time is not now to build my temple. Now, why did they think it was not time any longer? Because of the opposition from the Samaritans. And what's so funny is so often, whether we receive opposition, we think when we receive opposition, we believe or begin to think it must be not be God's will. Because it just got hard. It just got difficult. So it must not be God's will. And in that moment, we need to understand that the closer we get to doing something that matters to the heart of God, the more likely we are to face opposition. In fact, in our notes, it says, receiving opposition isn't a sign that God is against you. It's not a sign that God is against you. A lot of times, in fact, it's a sign that you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. This is why I sometimes hedge in doing something at home or at church, and it stops me in my tracks, and it's all because of some opposition, and then I have to be careful because I might start saying, well, this must not be God's will. You see, the moment you start moving forward and do something and be obedient to what God called you to do, you need to mark it down. You need to mark it down because there's very likely opposition, spiritual opposition on the way. When you find yourself being obedient to God, it may get difficult and it may get challenging, and it often does. I want to encourage you with this one simple thought, especially if it becomes challenging for you to do something, or even harder, difficult if you think you're about to do something for God. And it's this one simple thought, and it's in your notes. With God's help, choose the hard right over the easy wrong. With God's help, choose the hard right over the easy wrong. Over and over and over again, tell yourself just that. God, with your help, enable and empower me to choose the hard right over the easy wrong. In fact, why don't you say that with me right now? God, with your help, enable and empower me to choose the hard right over the easy wrong. It would be so easy when someone hurts your feeling to hold a grudge and be angry with them. That's easy. But it's a hard and right to forgive others as Christ forgave you. It would be so easy to continue to spend more money than you have to buy whatever you want and go into debt. But it's hard and right to begin to climb out of debt, to begin living beneath your means, and to live in such a way that you can become massively generous to others. It's so easy to give up. It's so easy to not make a difference, to not share about Jesus in your life. But we, as followers of Jesus, with the help of God, will choose the hard right over the easy wrong, to serve God through the church, to share with others what God is doing in our lives. This is what the prophet is going to help empower the people to do. He essentially tells them, the time is now. Or said differently in your notes, it says, act now, and don't put it off. Don't put it off what God wants you to do. Now, for many of you, I want you to think just for a moment and ask yourself, is there some unfinished assignment in your life? Especially something God has asked you to do. It could be yesterday, a year ago, 10 years ago, 40 years ago. Something God placed on your heart and it's unfinished. Maybe you needed to forgive someone. Maybe you needed to start living within your means. Maybe you needed to share your faith in some meaningful ways. Whatever God asked you to do, and you haven't moved on it yet. You know, it was in your heart. You felt a burden, most likely from God, but you didn't do it. Allow God to remind you, to the Holy Spirit to speak to you in the very same way He spoke to the people in the time of Haggai. You see, the Spirit is going to say, the time is now. The time is now. The time is now. Let's read the following verses. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, and God asked, is it a time for yourself to be living in your paneled houses while this house, God says, while my house remains in ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says, and we're going to see that God say a phrase again and again, and He says, give careful thought to your ways. Think about how you're living. Is it a time for you to live in those paneled houses, the Lord says, while my house is left in ruins? According to some commentaries, those paneled houses, you may be asking, what's a paneled house? In some commentaries, it's basically saying, that's high-end living. Man, you're living on the high end of life. This is like having granite countertops. You've got crown molding, a beautiful kitchen with stainless everything. You got the best TV that money can buy. You've got all this kind of stuff. And God is not against us having nice things. He's against us putting nice things above God. So we can read this at this point, and the people are putting their own comfort ahead of God's house and God's priority. And God says, give careful thought to your ways. And the question is, as you look at this, maybe whatever that unfinished assignment is that God has put on your heart, you have to ask, are you putting your own comfort ahead of what God wants you to do? Are you trying to make a name more than you're trying to make a difference? Are you putting off your house before God's house? Or are you putting your house before God's house? Are you consumed with yourself instead of being consumed with God and showing God's love to other people? Is there something that you're putting ahead of God in your life? Give careful thought to your ways. Because God wants us to choose the hard right over the easy wrong. For example, when I first began to experience a call into ministry, I was a single guy and I explored what I felt God was asking me to do. I talked with my pastor. I even signed up for a seminary class down at Wayne State. And it was on Christian education because that was the only one that was open and available. So I enrolled in the class, and at that time I was a youth sponsor at church. And the girl I was dating thought I was taking this Christian education class because I was a youth sponsor. Some good communicator I am. About halfway through the class, I asked her dad if I could have his blessings to marry her, and he said, yes. And then I asked her to marry me, and she said, yes. Now, life took over. I finished the Christian ed class, but it just didn't encourage me. It wasn't a survey of the Old Testament. It wasn't Hebrew or Greek or something that I figured a seminary person should be taking. And all of a sudden, I was planning a wedding, then marriage, a honeymoon, adjusting to marriage, looking for and buying a house, and within a year, we were pregnant. I had zero thoughts of becoming a pastor or pursuing what God was asking me to do. I was putting other things above what God had asked me to do or wanted me to do. Now, I was still in ministry at my church. I just wasn't doing what God called me to do. I was still satisfying my desires to do something for God, and it was fruitful work. But it wasn't what God wanted me to do. And in the back of my mind, there was this unfulfilled assignment for God that was left undone by me. I wasn't choosing the hard right. I was choosing the easy, well, not so much wrong in that I was still doing ministry, but wrong in it that I wasn't doing what God had asked me to do. I said, God, I'll be the best lay person, just not the pastor. Some of you right now, there will be something in your life that you're supposed to be doing, that God has called you to do, and like me, you're taking the easy wrong over the hard right. And God says, choose the hard right. The time is now. God says, give careful thought to your ways. And then he says this, read it with me. You planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Does that strike you like it strikes me? God says you're working your tail off and you still don't feel like you have enough or anything. You're pouring your life into some career and it just feels empty and hollow. You have more than you ever had before and you still don't feel satisfied. You entertain yourself, you go to games, you go to movies, you eat out. There's still a longing for more. You know Dr. Phil, what he would say in this moment? Now how's that working for you? Give careful thought to your ways. Think about it. Are you putting your house ahead of God's house? Is there some unfinished business that God has asked you to do that you haven't yet fulfilled? And then God reminds the people of Judah, give careful thought to your ways. And then God breaks it down into three simple steps. To build the temple, here's what I want you to do, God says. Number one, go up to the mountain. Number two, bring down the timber. Number three, build my house. Let me say it again in case you missed it. This is what God said to do. Go up to the mountains, bring down the timber, and build my house. Go up to the mountain. Now wait a minute. Going up to the mountain? That's kind of hard. That's like, have you seen that mountain? It's pretty big. But God says, choose the hard right over the easy wrong. And then he says, bring down the timber. Oh, that's hard too. Choose the hard right over the easy wrong. And then he says, calm down and build the temple step by step. God says, step by step. Here's the one. Here's the two. Here's the three. Now, sometimes some of you, probably all of us, but some of you for sure, want to see the whole picture of what God's going to do with whatever he is that he's asking you to do. But God only gives you the first three steps. You want all of the detail, and God has not done that. Well, guess what? We know, do the hard right. And first focus on what God wants you to do. Step one, then step two, and then step three. And when God's ready, God will give you any additional steps. And usually it's easier to do the first step without seeing the last, because sometimes we see that last step and we become overwhelmed like I was, and I'd say, I can't do that. Now, it only took me another 8 years, okay, more like 12 years, before I began to take the steps and really follow what it was that God wanted me to do. And when I did, God blessed me in doing the hard right instead of continuing to do the easy wrong. And I have been blessed to pastor some amazing people through the years of ministry. People I can safely say I would never have met if I hadn't taken step one, step two, and then step three. The dinner theater last night was wonderful, and most of the people were not people who attend here. Because some people decided to do what God was asking them to do, the hard right instead of the easy wrong. Many walked into the church last night for a fun evening when the last or only time they had ever darkened the door of the church was for a wedding or a funeral. Because some people decided to work hard at a cornhole tournament 3 years ago, we now have some unchurched people who come regularly to have fun and rub shoulders with church people in the hopes that one day they might come to service or reconsider God. Minimally, it's at least say, well, church people, they have fun. In doing ministry, yes, it's taking the hard right instead of the easy wrong. And the wrong in this case would have been doing nothing. No theater, no cornhole, no new people being reached for God. So I guess my question is this: what is God calling you to do that you know that God is calling you to do? That you know that it will cause you to love God more deeply, with more of your heart, your soul, your life, that you would be more willing to serve where you believe God is calling you to serve, or maybe give more of yourself to God that God is calling you to give. I say do the hard right instead of the easy wrong. Be a blessing to God. Draw near to God, and God says he will draw near to you. Listen and do what God is calling you to do. Step one, step two, step three. You see, there can be nothing more exciting in life than to watch God use you to do wonderful things in the kingdom of God. At the bottom of your sermon notes, there's a question there that I want you to take home and I want you to answer. It's not enough just to listen, but we must take step one. So take step one. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we thank you that you are present with us, that your word is living and active. We thank you that a story that happened 500 years before the birth of Christ is as true today as it was true then. We thank you for your presence, God, that you want us to minister, that you want to minister to us, your church, and that we would be different people. God, because we are here with you. Help us, Lord, to trust you to take the next step into whatever it is that you have called us to do. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,